thank you to Chris Botta from the Sports Business Journal for joining us. In case you missed any of that interview, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Alternatively, you can download it from the TSN 1290 website at tsn1290.ca.
We should mention to our listeners that Dave Minuk has all the Jets and NHL CBA news up on the website.
I'm done with Dave Minuk right now. Dave and I are in a tiff.
That's why I speak for Dave Minuk. That's why you finish your little spiel.
Yeah.
Then I come on. I speak for Dave.
No. Dave and I are
tiffing. Why is there a tiff?
He's getting a little bit, you know, he's calling me out on this Movember stuff. I misspoke when I said 5 days of growth. I meant 3 days of growth. He's calling people. He's making a big deal of it. I'm done with Dave for the rest of the day.
Well, the reason why Dave M. is upset is because Dave M. brought Movember to Illegal Curve, and you're breaking the rules.
I really wasn't. I just misspoke. I shaved on October 31st, like the rules dictate I should be.
Did you shave your back as well as your mustache?
No, I didn't. That was funny, though.
I've tried before. It doesn't work. I've tried body sugaring. I've tried eating sugar.
We know you do that.
Yeah, we know that you eat a lot of sugar. That's
no, but
true.
We should mention, though, in all honesty, we had Jeff Paulson and Jennifer Botterill on 2 weeks ago. We should mention, and we've linked it on our site.
Yeah.
You can donate to Team Illegal Curve. I've also got Team Ezzy up there. I've got one donation, but...
Yeah, let's just
go to the
Ezzy,
team.
You're not part of the team.
Actually, what the problem is Ezzy made his own team for no very good reason, as opposed to just registering as an individual.
Did you say no very good reason or mo very good reason?
I said no very good reason. So you made your own team, and now you're trying to join the Illegal Curve team, as we said you should.
You've blocked me, Drew.
No,
it's
haven't
like
blocked
WHA
you.
Start WHA and try and join the NHL.
The problem is you can't actually join two teams. So now we have to contact the Movember people, delete Team Ezzy, which is you, and then get you.
Have you received a donation yet?
I've received a donation,
but I
actually see that Drew's received a bigger donation. I'm a little bit jealous. Well, Drew's one-upped me.
It doesn't take much to one-up you.
Well, let's get some of the listeners to...
Anyways, you can donate to Team Illegal Curve.
How about this? Why don't we... Because we're raising money regardless. So why don't we see who does better, Team Illegal Curve?
Yes.
Let's just keep Team Ezzy.
I agree with this. This is good.
Because Illegal Curve will actually... But hold on. This is the stipulation. I get Dave Minuk. He comes to Team Ezzy. I'm sure Dave will... After you threw Dave under the bus there and said you're done with him, I'm sure Dave would join Team Ezzy.
Does Remus have a team?
I disagree with you. I'll tell you why.
Can I get in here? Does Remus have a team?
No, Remus isn't the...
Can you imagine if Remus grew a mustache?
I don't think so. I'm not sure that's a
that
good
might
look
be
for
the,
him.
That might be the creep out to end all creep outs. Actually, you know what? Reem will probably grow a pretty good mustache. But yeah, how about we do that? Because we're raising money for a good cause regardless.
Sure, that's a good idea.
So let's encourage our listeners.
Okay.
Donate to Team Ezzy if you dislike Drew. And if you like Drew...
Millions of dollars.
Yeah. All of a sudden, they like the site crashes.
Donald Thier and Dear Gay Bannon make a joint donation.
Yeah, I'll get like $100 million, the difference to my Movember page. But we're going to talk hockey here, but this is a great cause. I haven't seen this many people involved in the Movember movement in previous years. It really seems like there's more
people
than ever.
See, when Drew's growing up in the 70s, everybody had a mustache.
Right.
Too easy. I haven't made an age joke yet. We're an hour and a half through the show.
Should make a note about next week's show, as it happens. It's actually going to be a two-hour show next week. We're going to be we're taping. It'll be taped on Friday. We're going to be down in Minneapolis. We're heading down for the Vikings game.
We'll be mustachioed in Minneapolis.
And what you know will happen is we'll do it on Friday, and Friday, Saturday morning, they'll strike a deal.
Guaranteed.
Not for sure.
Guaranteed. It's
not for sure.
Exactly. You know, we can do it by the phone. We'll just call in as we're heading down to Minneapolis. Anyways, you know... It's almost 2 o'clock. At least they're meeting. So, I mean, the fact that they're meeting and they're not telling people where it is is a good sign today. You know, if you need to take something and you want to grasp it, whatever straw you want to grasp at, there's a bit of a straw to grasp for.
Maybe they're meeting at the McDonald's on 7th Avenue in New York that I was at. I bet they're not. I bet, you know what? I bet they're meeting.
You know what? Who knows where they're meeting? Who really cares? The fact is, they're really not that far apart, aside from what they're telling us in the PR garbage. And so let's hope that they're making some inroads in that regard. But again, you know, based on the seemingly inability to agree on what was even offered, I'm not as hopeful as I may have been months ago. And to be honest with you, I thought it'd be back. I thought the thing would settle by mid to late October. And I thought the games would be played more importantly by mid-November. And that's not going to happen. almost assuredly.
Yeah, well, I mean, the next, say, you know, U.S. Thanksgiving, that Black Friday. Yep. So the Friday after U.S. Thanksgiving is the next sort of date where they have a... That's when NBC National is supposed to start their coverage. Yep. So that's the, you know, that's a an event, you know, on the NHL calendar.
Absolutely.
Is that the Jets will be playing...
Yeah.
They'd be playing in Philadelphia.
That Friday afternoon. A bunch of people calling in sick for work.
I suspect there would be.
It's not a holiday here.
Yeah, it's not a holiday. But between the Thursday afternoon football and Friday Jets game, there might be some absenteeism that day. So maybe they'll be playing by then. I mean, honestly, if they're meeting and we don't know about it, that's a good sign.
There's a reason to have less hope. I agree with Richie. But I think that...
I'm still optimistic.
Like last week... When they canceled all of the November games, or about 10 days ago, when they canceled all of those November games, you know, I said, well, be optimistic, you know, and other people said this as well, because, you know, negotiations are starting to get more serious. When they're meeting more, and there's more at stake...
I think it's even more
that's
so.
When the, and now they've canceled the Winter Classic. I still think there's optimism for a half season. Because that's what they're negotiating now for a half season. I don't think there's any chance. Well, there's definitely not a chance of a full season. But even a 60 or 70 gamer,
I think you're talking
40 to 50 games here this year.
If you're the owners, you're not happy because you're losing money because you've been making a ton of money on this team.
Right.
Almost. You know, we think at least the books aren't open. We see the total revenue in the league. But we don't see the books per
team. Well, the Jets are top third.
Yeah, exactly, and so you have to think, and they didn't qualify for revenue sharing by being the top. I think half it is. I don't have the CBA right in front of me. I do, but not that page.
I actually carry with me all the time
in a book. But in any event, Drew, I think that for the Jets, just from that perspective, a half season without Zach Bogosian, I think would have been did them in. They would have struggled to compete. I don't know when he's expected to be back, but if the Jets are back, the game is back by December, somewhere around that point, January and. Bogosian's within a couple weeks of being back, and again, that's pure speculation. That would certainly give the Jets a far better chance of making the playoffs in a half season. Anybody can make the playoffs. I mean, think about it. The Minnesota Wild last year were clearly not a great team. They started off really well, and they came through here, and they lost, and they started winning on a tailspin, partly because they were just putting up numbers. Their goaltending was, you know, numbers like Hasek, and they weren't that talented, and they didn't have enough scoring, and blah, blah, blah. But the point is, for half season, anybody can play at that kind of a pace, and they were a playoff team.
Right.
So, you know, when you're talking about predictions and you're talking about a 40-game season, you know, the best teams will make it, likely, but any team can make it. Any team.
And
so I think it helps the Jets because I think they're a middle-of-the-pack team, a lower middle-of-the-pack probably, but, hey, in a short period of time, they could finish... anywhere.
And for NHL hockey fans out there, you know, I know we got to go to break because Bob Duff's coming on, but that's what you have to be optimistic about that. You have to be hopeful that because, you know, everybody's hopes, NHL fans out there, and because we're just like you hockey fans, your hopes have been crushed, but that's what you have to look forward to, the half season and, you know, the chance that you know, anything can happen in a half season because if not, then, you know, you're really going to depress yourself even more.
I'll tell you who really wants the season to start. It's my wife. She looked at me, I think, on Thursday night and said, are you home again tonight? I'm sick and tired of you being home so much is pretty much what she said to me.
I feel bad for her.
Yeah, she really wants me out of the house. So, you know, even if you just do it for my wife.
For the wives out there.
Do it for the wives who are sick and tired of their husbands being around and moping around and not having anything else to do.
Actually, Ezzy's couch was talking to him, and he's like, why are you back here again?
Yeah. The groove has really gotten bad in that couch.
Oh, man. Let's go to break. But next up, Bob Duff from the Windsor Star. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
Little gorillas.
Couple minutes past 2 o'clock. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And the website for your latest NHL, Winnipeg Jets, and CBA news is www.illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Let's welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's a frequent guest on this program. You know him from the Windsor Star, and he's the author of a new book, authored jointly with Kevin Allen of USA Today. The book is called Without Fear, The Greatest Goalies of All Time. Bob Duff, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon, Bob. you know, goalies, of course, you know, it's a great book. It's it's a sort of a coffee table style book where, you know, you try and rank the greatest goaltenders of all time. And of course, these are the great barroom debates, you know, Brodeur, Roy, you know, where does Hasek fall in, things of that nature. You know, went back 60, 70 years really into the history of the NHL. How did you go about sort of establishing the criteria for the rankings, given that the book crosses from, you know, generation to generation in the game of hockey?
Well, we tried to interview as many people as we could that saw these guys play if they were beyond our era. And unfortunately, with some of the older goalies, that's relatively impossible now. So you just kind of have to rely on historical documentation of their performance. But when it came right down to it, if we were debating between two goalies, the way we looked at it was, if it was Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final and you had to pick between these two guys, who would you want in your net? And surprisingly, it wasn't as hard as you'd think to kind of slot them into a spot when you looked at it from that point of view.
Bob, you look at number one, you and Kevin have, also speaking to everybody you spoke to, have Marty Brodeur number one and Patrick Waugh number two. How hard is it to pick Brodeur over Waugh?
I think it would have been harder to do a few years earlier, but if you look at just the numbers that Marty's piled up and just how he's obliterated every record, I think the one that finally did it for me was when he surpassed the Sawchuk shutout record. I thought that was a record that no one would ever touch, and he blew past that, and it blew my mind, because I just thought, you know, the hardest thing to do, I think, in hockey is to get a shutout, and he's done it more than anybody in the history of the game.
Bob, I've got to say, we got a copy of the book, and you know, it looks great. I haven't had a time to go through the entire book, but there's some great stories in there and pictures of the old goalies like Gump Worsley and Turk Broda and many others. How hard is it to compare goalies from one generation of goalies to today's generation?
It's a challenge. I mean, you have to look at how that guy fit into his era, first of all, and then go beyond that and try to, you know, kind of put him into the mix against the other guys. It's not an exact science, and certainly there's going to be arguments and people are going to disagree with us. I know a lot of people, including Johnny Bauer, who worked on the book with us, as far as he's concerned, Terry Sawchuk should be number one, and you could probably go to 20 different people and maybe get another 10 or 12 different answers. Everybody has their guy that they think was the best. A lot of people would argue for Glenn Hall. Some would argue for Jacques Plante. And that's the point of the book in a lot of ways. This is just what we think. It doesn't mean you have to think that. And that's, as you said at the start, that's what the book does. It gets the debate going, gets the argument going, gives you something to talk about and something to debate.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Bob Duff. He writes for the Windsor Star. He's also co-author with Kevin Allen of a book called Without Fear, The Greatest Goalies of All Time. You know, Bob, you know, especially, you know, sitting around this table, you know, especially going back to 1998, the Olympics in 98, and the performance that Dominik Hasek put on there for the Czech Republic, you know, in a one-game do-or-die situation, would Dominik Hasek be the goalie that you choose?
He'd be in there, certainly in the argument. I would look at a guy like Sawchuk, too, and just he played when things were on the line. I mean, I don't think there's a guy in this book that you wouldn't want to have in your net. I mean, 50 great goalies here, and you can go back over a century of hockey, and you look at those guys and just think at any time, you know, would you be upset to have that guy in your net?
Bob, we talked before about, you know, crossing generations. In terms of the equipment, you know, you hear people say, oh, it's easier to score in the 70s or the 80s. Look what the goalies were wearing. But in terms of, obviously, they're playing at that time, that's what was available. But also, it seems like it's almost easier to play goalie now based upon the fact that the equipment is so huge that a lot of these goalies just go down in the butterfly and they kind of, you know, like a Giguere just lets the puck hit them. Can you speak to that a bit?
Well, it's, again, different eras. You know, it was a more athletic position, I think, back in the day when you had to lunge across the net. You don't see a Guy Lafleur come down the wing and blast one into the far corner anymore because the goalies, as you say, with their equipment can take that shot away. But the game evolves, too. I mean, everybody finds a way to beat whatever system's installed. I mean, we're going to if we ever see hockey again at the NHL level, I'm sure the geniuses like the Mike Babcocks of the world are trying to figure out a way to get through all this shot blocking that dominated the playoffs the last time we saw it. And you know, I think the biggest thing the equipment's done for the goalie is take away the injury factor. You look at the horrific punishment that some of these guys took before, probably up until the 80s, really. Goalies just paid a terrible price for the position, you know, between cuts and bruises and fractures. And I think the equipment now, as much as it makes them bigger, it also protects them. And now, really, how often do you see a goalie badly hurt as you used to see every week in the old days?
Bob, a lot of people obviously remember Russian goaltender Vladislav Tretiak from the 1972 Summit Series, but we only really saw bits and pieces of him throughout the length of his, you know, his entire career. Would you say that he's one of the most underrated goalies of all time?
It's dependent on who you talk to. I think a lot of people would agree with that statement, but we also ran across people that, like a Bobby Clark, for example, who thinks Tretiak's one of the most overrated goalies of all time, and they argue that, like the 72 series, for example, he had three chances to win that series for his team, and he couldn't win them a game when they needed it. And then there's others who point to the 80 Olympics against the U.S. when he got hooked after the first period. So he was one of the goalies, I think, that raised the most debate when we were ranking them. There's probably three guys that, I guess for a better term, are kind of lightning rods for people saying, well, how can you put that guy there? Tretiak was one of them. Certainly Chris Osgood raised a lot of ire among people. And the third guy would be Roberto Luongo, as far as people saying, like, how can he be in the top 50? But I think if you get beyond just looking at the Stanley Cup playoffs, you look at Luongo's international experience and what he's accomplished on the world stage, it's pretty hard to argue against.
Agreed.
Bob, you mentioned the price that goalies had to pay, you know, to play the game, you know, and we all know that Jacques Plante was the first to introduce the goalie mask to the NHL. You know, how crazy is it that we ever actually played in hockey in an era where goalies didn't wear a mask?
Well, how crazy is this? When we're researching Plante, you come across the stories when he first started putting the mask on. And he was the one who was vilified. The other guys who weren't wearing the mask were the sane ones. And he was there. They said, he's a chicken. He's putting a mask on. He was the one that took the criticism. We're probably one of the most important inventions in the history of hockey. And he had to basically live through the allegations that he was a coward.
Bob, you're in the Windsor area. I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't ask. You've covered the Spitfires and obviously the Detroit Red Wings for many years. The loss of the cancellation of the Winter Classic yesterday. Can you speak to the effect on the area and how disappointed people are?
I think it's a mixture of anger and apathy because now the rumor had been out there for so long that this was coming. I think people had resigned themselves to the reality it wasn't going to happen. And I think a lot of people just almost expected it to happen and weren't really that outraged by it yesterday. And they just, the other people certainly, there were a lot of outrage. I think it's just the thing that concerns me about this lockout in general from the standpoint of someone who's a fan of hockey is that the fans this time around don't seem to care as much. It's like they've said they're fed up with it. And that's the kind of the great unknown that we're dealing with here. They've always come back in the past, but are they going to come back this time? I don't think that's a worry in this area or in Toronto or Montreal, but when you talk about places where the game isn't part of the fabric of the culture, like a Nashville, Florida, California, those places, are those people who have kind of come to embrace hockey going to learn again to live without it and not miss it?
The book is called Without Fear, The Greatest Goalies of All Time. It's available in all your local bookstores and online and all the usual places where you can get a book. Bob Duff from the Windsor Star and author of that great book, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Anytime. You guys know where to find me.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Take care. Let's go to break.
Great. Well, quickly, before we go to break, looking through the book, one of the great parts is Marty Brodeur comes home. We'll go to break on this note. Comes home when he's like 13 or 14, or 11, 12, 13 or 14. And he just got benched for a few games because he missed a game for his grandmother's funeral. And he said, I want to quit. I don't want to play goalie anymore. That's it. I want to go ski. I want to be a skier. And his dad said, nope.
became the greatest goalie of all time.
I'm bringing you back, and you're going to be playing. We're taking you, and you're going to be playing. And look what happened.
The decisions we make in life. Let's go to break on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A big thank you to Bob Duff for having just joined us. In case you missed any of that interview, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Subscribe and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. This segment of the show is brought to you by the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. The CGA Association of Manitoba is the largest, fastest growing, and most diverse accounting body in the province. Did you know that CGAs are among the top 5% of income earners in Canada, with an average yearly salary of $72,000 for new graduates? For more information, contact the CGA Association of Manitoba at cga-manitoba.org or give them a call at 204-477-1256. The CGA Association of Manitoba, we see more than numbers.
Are we going to get to this Bombers game, Drew?
Are you seeing the Illegal Curve biopic this weekend?
I'm sorry?
The Illegal Curve biopic.
Biopic?
Yeah. It's in theaters.
Oh, you're stealing my joke.
It was actually my joke that you were going to steal.
That's true.
What's the joke?
The movie our biopic. This is out this week.
It's called Seven Psychopaths.
Nice.
Even though I think right now there's six of us.
Yeah, there's six of us. Including Kyle. That's okay. No, Timmy's in, so it's seven.
Yeah, we got seven. Sure, seven psychopaths.
We'll include Timmy. Yeah, there you go.
Richard Pollock, played by Christopher Walken.
It's a hell of a group.
More cowbell, Drew.
Yeah. So, obviously the lockout is forcing people to maybe watch things that they necessarily wouldn't normally watch.
True. I'm currently on my trial of the NBA package.
Oh, I have that.
Yeah.
And
no, seriously.
Yeah,
seriously.
I believe you. Because you got to watch
We did not believe you.
Oh, okay, sure.
I was actually there when you ordered it, and you couldn't order it.
I know.
Their site is a pain. It took me a while, too.
Yeah, but I got it now.
The Toronto Raptors, they had their season opener, their home opener,
They should have won that game.
Wednesday night.
They blew that game.
They should have won it, but it had the largest Toronto Raptor audience since 2009-2010.
It's good.
Why do you think?
Well, I mean, because of the lockout, undoubtedly. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this is what the NHL, I don't think, understands necessarily.
Right.
People aren't going to sit, hockey fans in Canada will come back, because they just will. But in all these other markets, they'll find other things to do. They just won't sit around waiting for them.
My point about the whole thing is, like, say you have a kid, right? And he's nine years old. He hasn't really picked up sports yet, and he's trying to get into hockey. And he's starting to watch hockey, and he likes it. And then this year he says, you know what? Well, there's no hockey on. I'll watch basketball. And say he really takes the basketball. Then say he starts playing basketball at the gym. And then he's a basketball kid.
And by the way,
you know how specific sports are these days? Like, God forbid your kid not play hockey all summer and you play baseball. They just do one sport.
Right.
And they do it all the time. And so the point is,
it's a hell of a lot cheaper to play basketball, by the way, than it is hockey.
Also true. But the point is that you lose the younger fans, too. They become interested in something else, and maybe they stick to it.
Yeah, maybe they don't. Yeah, they don't.
It's like hockey enrollment's growing in this country.
In fact, hockey enrollment is not the number one sport. It's soccer, I believe, is the number one sport based on enrollment. And people will find other things to do. They will spend their money.
That's right.
They won't just hold on to it and put it under the mattress.
Richie
will hold on to it and find somewhere else to spend their disposable income.
Richie mentioned the 8 or 9 year olds. What about the 16, 17, 18-year olds that this is the second lockout in 8 years?
Right.
So, you're 16 years old. When you were 8, there was a lockout. Now there's another lockout. I mean, Richie's 29, I'm 30, Drew, you're 75, but we've been through two lockouts. We've been through these lockouts as well, but I mean, we're older now. I mean, these lockouts.
Drew, how does the lockout compare to the Great Depression?
Less painful. The Great Depression was a tough time.
Let's put aside, Gary Bettman, I think we'd all agree his job isn't on the line, even though people would like it to be. And, it's not really about that for me. It's about, and this is why now fans are frustrated. I mean, Bob Duff mentioned this, that this time around there's a little bit more apathy. And there's definitely, say a little bit, I'd say there's a lot more. And it's because we're the ones, at the end of the day, the only reason these guys make the millions is because we pay for the tickets, we buy the jerseys, we buy the NHL center ice packages. I mean, we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
And we're being taken for granted. Because if you think about it, really what's happening this time around, as opposed to last time around, they were prepared, they were actually prepared to go for 2 years without hockey. So we knew there was a good chance there wasn't going to be a year. But this year, they're playing a little game, and they're saying, let's see how long we can go. And that's why we were talking about November 30th in the first hour of the show, end of November, as kind of being the point of diminishing returns. Because this time around, they're saying, the NHL is saying, okay, we're going to cancel the Winter Classic, PA. We're going to put the little more pressure on you. There was already more pressure on the PA when they canceled all of the games in November. So this year, they're trying to see, okay, how bad can it possibly be before one side caves? And really, it's not really one side caving, because we know there's two sides in every negotiation. But, you know, back to the original point, when you have kids, the new generation of fans that have gone through two lockouts in 8 years, I mean, what are they supposed to... They don't understand it. I mean, we're analyzing it from a perspective of hockey-related revenue and the politics. But, you know, kids... They just want to watch. They play hockey. They want to watch their favorite players. That's all they care about.
You're right. They don't want to sit through.
The sports will benefit.
Yeah, they don't want to sit through the machinations and the deep analysis. Let me know when it started, and if I've found something better in the interim, maybe I'll come back to it, or maybe I won't. But it's not my problem, and I'm not going to sit and worry about it.
And the Toronto Raptors will benefit.
And Toronto
CFL,
Blue Jays.
CFL will benefit. You've got the 100th Grey Cup coming up. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. If that got good ratings, I think it would get good ratings regardless.
Well, it's but
I
the think, most watched event in Matt, Canadian
yeah,
TV.
I think it'll be through the roof. Exactly.
Where?
We know how much Remus likes Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Bieber and Carly Rae Jepsen of the halftime show.
Bieber fever.
Well, I mean, and these are just things. People will find other things to do. It's just that simple. Nobody sits around and waits and mourns the fact that you're not there. Or maybe they didn't pass, but you really do get sense of apathy that exists over this lockout, you know? I can't believe that we're at this point. I hate both sides. Screw
exactly
them both.
Right.
Let me know when they're back, and I'll consider it. But I'm certainly not going to waste my time worrying about it and everything else.
Andrew, I mean, I know there's parents and players and all that obviously are very familiar with the MJHL and the WHL and university hockey. But I recommend to people who are hockey fans, go watch the MJHL. Go to Brandon and watch the WHL. I mean, just because NHL hockey is shut down, I mean that's how you keep loving the game of hockey. I think, I mean, there's some people that feel that, you know, not supporting the NHL, that's going to make a difference, and it will. But we know that they've already, you know, done the calculations, and they know that in the big markets the fans will come back, and you know I'll be shocked if the fans don't come back in a third of the markets, but that's how you show the NHL really if you want to. I'm not by any means saying do that, because you know I think that that's not the way to go about it, but that's how you keep your love of the game by still going to other levels. And that's why I think, you know, junior hockey, that level will benefit actually from the NHL lockout, because people are still going to want to watch hockey. And if you're living in a city like Winnipeg, there's no other pro hockey. What else can you go watch?
Well, people head down. Are you guys heading to UND for a game?
We are going to, yeah. Do you want to come?
I don't know. When is it?
I'm sorry, Drew. There's no room in the car.
It's too bad. But, I mean, that's what you guys, you know, you see people on Twitter.
We saw them play 3 or 4 times last year.
Well, our buddy Bauer was listening to us last week as he was on his way back from UND.
It's a great time.
I mean, you go down there, you watch a game.
Beautiful
you,
arena.
You have something. Yeah. The money you'd be spending on an NHL ticket, you can, you know, you can get a whole season's worth of college games or whatever, but you make an event of it, and, yeah, maybe I'll come back to hockey, but I'm not going to wait my life. I'm not going to live my life, you know, on every pins and needles waiting for these
every
guys to
figure
it out.
Every time there's a generic message, the National Hockey League owners have forced a lockout, and it's terrible, you know, Donald Fear, and then you got the Bill Daly thing. You know, I mean, there's only so much of that we can take, and it's very little.
Well, it goes back to what you said, though, Richie, in the Canadian cities and the strong U.S. markets. The fans will come back, but there will be some little pockets of fans. Even in the Torontos and the Vancouvers, there will be. I've just spoken to enough people and seen enough people's on Twitter, and the NHL should be concerned about that. Even if they still know, okay, well, we're still going to make this amount of money, but let's say you've lost even a few thousand fans. That's not good. You can't afford to lose those few thousand fans. You're at a stage where you should be capitalizing on the success that you've had over the last 7 or 8 years since the last lockout. So you should be concerned about that. I mean, the NFL didn't, you know, when they had their lockout, I mean, that was too short to really see fans leave the game.
When you don't miss any games,
exactly.
Nobody cares.
You've missed games, so people that care, people that...
And the NBA missed 16 games.
Especially with the NFL, everyone knew that there was just way too much money to the lockout.
That's right.
No one knew thought that it was going to
talk about the money here.
There's way too much in the NHL for them to be locked out, but here we are.
No, in the NFL, there's way more.
Oh, really? But there's still a lot of money.
It's,
when did you get in here?
Sorry.
No. I mean, in the room, not in the conversation. You're always welcome to join.
Oh, I don't know. I came in during the segment.
It's when him and Timmy did the trade out because Timmy has to load Golf Talk Canada.
You're like
for
the guy from Big Daddy. You appear out of nowhere. What's his name
again? What's your obsessiveness with Big Daddy?
Great movie.
Yeah, but that's like two Big Daddy references today.
Rob Schneider.
I know. I mean, I understand, but I mean,
maybe it's because they had Big Daddy Cool's Kevin Nash on HBO.
Oh, there we go, Ezzy.
Nice reference there, Ezzy. Wait, are you going?
You used to be a wrestling fan.
It's true. I used to be.
Yeah.
You used to like Bastion Booger and King Kong Bundy.
Man.
Remember those guys? Demolition?
Didn't you
I still love wrestling.
Repo Man.
Didn't you at-tweet King Kong Bundy the other day?
Iron Sheik. Iron Sheik.
IRS? Remember IRS, Remus?
Man, I was a fan
of Erwin R. Scheister. My favorite tag team of all time was the Rockers.
I like the Buddy
Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, right? Yeah. Even I remember
those
that.
Those guys ruled. They partied.
Can we go to break now? Are you guys done with the wrestling?
Drew, I hope when we come back you're not here.
Unfortunately, you're going to be disappointed.
Drew, you're the hitman, so take us into the break.
Oh, the Bombers look good today.
Yeah, they're down 10-0 already. I'm already excited to sit out there for the second half. As you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
Happy anniversary, pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary, but be careful you...
See, I remember when that song debuted on that episode of Looney Tunes, you see, back in 1945.
It's Flintstones.
That's when
Flintstones.
Yeah,
Flintstones.
Two bits could get you an ice cream cone.
You remembered.
Now you're playing a clip. Is that Betty? Is it Betty?
Wilma.
That was Betty and Veronica.
How did you remember that? How did you know that was from The Simpsons, from The Flintstones?
That was Looney Tunes, so that's not actually correct.
Okay, but I'm impressed. Anyways, yes, it is our anniversary.
Happy anniversary to everybody
here. Yes, to you too. Our second anniversary here on TSN 1290. The parade still hasn't showed up. It must be trapped in traffic somewhere down Pembina Highway.
Hey, Drew, we're going to get to party with 30,000 people at Canadian Stadium in about an hour. I think to catch half of the game.
I think a bunch of those people are dressed as empty seats today at Canadian Stadium.
They shouldn't be.
Well, I'm giving you the finger point. There you go.
NHL news and notes.
I don't know where the button is.
Davis. We may be on a 7-second delay, but you're not.
The deputy mayor of Markham, Ontario has withdrawn their support for the new arena that is proposed for that city. That, of course, is what a lot of people are pointing to as going to be the arena for the second NHL franchise in Toronto, if and when that ever happens. By this mayor, do you think that deal will still come to fruition?
I think so.
The issue surrounding it for the deputy mayor is the financial framework. Right now, the city would borrow $325 million to construct the arena. At which point in time, it would be the owners of the arena, Graham Rustin and Rudy Brady, would pay back half of that $325 million plus the interest. And the other half would come from a levy on new homes from a residential development in and around the arena.
Well, it seems like, you know, first off, there's a lot of money at stake here. And from what I've told and read, there's a need for a facility, not just for hockey, but for they're not building this under the assumption they're getting an NHL team.
That's what they like you to believe. I think they are building
I think they're hopeful, but I don't think I think expansion of the NHL is a real possibility, but...
there's too much money to be had there.
Exactly.
Right?
They're working out the details with the government, and there's obviously some residential development happening there. So, I mean, this is going to happen. It might just be delayed a little bit. That's what I'm reading into this.
You all have anything else to add? What would you like me to talk about right now? There's a lockout going on. So when you throw me under the bus with your meh...
Can we talk about... we'll talk about Backstrom later.
Okay, you can talk about Backstrom right now if you want.
Well, Backstrom, you know, Nicholas Backstrom.
This has been annoying you all week.
Yeah, it's annoying me all week and last week too. Nicholas Backstrom had the nerve to wear number 99 in the KHL. Clearly disrespecting hockey history.
So what does he change his number to?
And, yeah, I know.
69.
After three games, he decides, you know what? I can't wear this number.
Why
like, well,
69?
Nicholas, maybe now, you should have thought of that beforehand.
69 is the goofiest number in it. But now he's going to change his number. You don't pick 69.
It's better than 99. Remus?
I don't know. 69 still.
69 is the guy in beer league hockey
exactly.
who's a jerk.
Well,
who wears
the guy's a bigger jerk who wears 99.
Remember when like Hotmail first came out, you would have guys like Ezzy 69
yeah,
and Hotmail.
Lot,
and
lot
so yeah, are we saying that Backstrom is clearly a jerk?
No, his
no
decision making
history.
His decision making is suspect.
That's what I'm saying. And his good performances were history the past 2 years, which I said last week.
Next is this, topic, is this the throw throw people under the bus hour?
You think Nicholas Backstrom is really concerned about what we have to say about him? Is that what your problem? Is
well,
that what you're asking?
Maybe not specifically us, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't care, but
well, obviously I said he felt uncomfortable wearing it, and but you know, at least he realized.
Well, that's the part that's bizarre. I mean, did he just discover
yeah,
randomly?
It's like what did he? Just
He's like,
exactly.
I had no idea Gretzky wore 99. This is news to me.
Maybe he doesn't know what 69 symbolizes either.
It was one of the players from. I forget I think it was Barry Zito, one of the Oakland A's back in the day. There was a sign up of the Beatles on like the expressway, whatever. I guess one of the there's some big CD or whatever it was going to be. And he's like, "Who are they?"
No, what?
Yeah.
Come on,
no joke. You should Google that, Remus. No joke. He's like, "Who are they?"
Now he's a huge
Isn't
fan.
Isn't Barry Zito like a musician in his spare time?
Whoever it was, one of the Oakland A's, I think it was, and they didn't know who the Beatles were. So you never know. Maybe he didn't know who Wayne Gretzky was.
Come on.
Wayne Simmons is playing in the Czech League.
Crazy.
He's playing for Chomutov
yep.
of the Czech Adrian. League. And he was the victim of some racist comments.
Yep.
Yeah. You know.
It's very disturbing.
Of course it's disturbing.
And they got fined and all that. But, I mean, Wayne Simmons had the incident.
Why is Wayne Simmons playing in the Czech League if this is the treatment he's getting? And I can't believe it's any better from one team to the next.
Well, I'm sure that you know he spoke with either players that had played there or other players that were from the Czech Republic, and he made the decision that's where he was going to spend his time while the lockout was going on. But I mean, the issue here is that this continues to go on, and I mean. Second incident involving Wayne Simmons specifically.
Terrible. I mean, all that does is it raises the fact that there's still a lot of racism out there.
Right.
And ethnic slurs and things like that. And people want to talk about right. the fact that, you know, obviously as a people we're becoming a little more aware of and things like that. But it's still
Pardon
very
me. I just want to make a correction. Simmons is playing for Liberec.
Okay.
And he was playing against Chomutov, and it was the Chomutov fans who were who subjected him to racist chants.
Right.
Obviously, the Czech League really cracked down on him. They fined him a grand total of $1,555. You know, way to really stand up against
exactly.
racism.
This
there.
Is exactly. this is immature people.
And why is he bothering? I mean, he left his. This is the second team he's been on this winter, as he was playing in the German second division. And he left that team. But, how good is the German first division that Wayne Simmons can't play in it, by the way?
Well, there might have been not a spot or something. I don't know. We don't know why that was specifically, but you don't want to see that. It's disgraceful. Those guys, the fans are a disgrace. Stay at home and,
It's absurd.
Do that stuff in your own home, but don't go to hockey games where people are just trying to enjoy
hockey.
How
about you just don't do that stuff?
Yeah, you don't do that stuff at all. Don't get me wrong, but it's disgraceful. There's nothing else you can say about it.
You'll be glad to know that Shane Doan still believes that the Glendale, Arizona market is a viable hockey market.
Yeah, thanks, Shane.
He thinks that if they get an owner that reassures fans that the team will not move, then they'll be able to capitalize on their recent on-ice success and become a quote-unquote middle-of-the-pack team revenue-wise.
Great.
He also notes that the lockout hasn't done them any favors when it comes to growing their fan base after their impressive playoff run.
Neither did playing the games.
Yeah.
Neither did going to conference finals.
Neither did signing him to that contract do anything.
Yeah, neither did Gary Bettman approving that contract. Yeah. Neither did being on for sale for 3 years and nobody actually being able to buy it because they want guarantees, they won't lose money, which can't be provided.
Time is running out.
That was a good draw.
I got to say, how absurd. I mean, it's the most offensive that the NHL, I have to look up his exact title, but they laid off. Member of the Phoenix Coyotes. I think it was their PR person.
Yeah.
They laid him off this week because of the lockout.
Well, I think Rich Nairn's their PR guy, so I'm not sure.
Maybe it wasn't
It wasn't him. It was someone else.
It was somebody else in the front office of the Coyotes. Okay. I'll look it up real quick here. But, I mean, the NHL, if there's any team that shouldn't be laying off people, it should be that team just for the optics of it.
We haven't given up.
I appreciate, Shane Doan's optimism. He's been there for 1996. His family lives there. But that team shouldn't be there anymore. I mean, it just it shouldn't. The fans have not supported the team.
Sorry, they laid off Tim Ballmer, who was the team's media relations manager.
You know what? That's based on the situation. It's pretty disgraceful.
You know, what is Tim Ballmer possibly making that these guys, the 30 owners who are paying this franchise, can't throw in $2,000 each or $3,000 each and keep the guy around and not get the terrible public headlines as a result?
It's another casualty of the lockout. The fans don't get hockey. And there's tons of people out there that don't have jobs because of this lockout. Do the owners really care and the players really care? Probably not.
And credit to the True North guys in that they haven't laid off any of the employees as far as we know. Nothing's been announced.
And, you know, even what we said, Chris Botta on before, he's saying that Charles Wong, for all that said about him, didn't lay off anybody there either. So, there are guys who aren't doing it, but the guys are doing it. And then, as you say, the NHL owning the team,
they're the ones laying them off. It's just so... It's
something else, I'll tell you.
It's like they have such a tin ear. They don't know what... You know, literally, you keep the guy on the payroll, and it doesn't cost you anything. It's cost you, but they insist on keeping the team there to begin with. You know, maybe lay off the entire team and move the team. Yeah. How about that? Then I'll cut you some slack if you come to the realization that that place is the biggest disaster going around in hockey right now.
Sports.
It is absolutely the biggest disaster, in sports.
And there's nothing else. Gets by talking about how this and how that. That's a joke.
It was on this show that Bill Daly said about the Atlanta Arena. Well, the arena isn't moving to a more desirable location. It's the same thing about the Coyotes.
Exactly right, Drew.
It's the same thing about the Coyotes.
It's been a lame duck for 3 years. I mean, it's a lame duck.
Shut the front door.
Eric Lindros has been inducted into the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Awesome.
Do you ever think you'd see the day where Eric Lindros would be?
Oh, I did for sure. I mean, before the falling out, you did.
I should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Even after it.
You thought time would heal all wounds?
Maybe not. But Bobby Clark doesn't necessarily make the decision, although Bobby Clark and Ed Snyder are attached to the hip. And there may have been some bad blood there. But Eric Lindros, for all that can be said about him, you know, personally, and the issues that he had with you know, ego issues and many other things and butted heads, and, you know, screwing up in 96, not scoring on the Gretzky pass in front against the U.S. and
not that you're holding any grudges or anything.
And throwing Lindros
under the bus. Captaining 98 and not scoring the shootout. I mean, those things aside, for that period in the mid-90s, I tell you because I watched a lot of Flyers games, and he was with LeClaire, and whether it was Renberg, and you want to talk with the other guys who played in the Legion of Doom? You had Renberg.
LeClaire and Lindros.
Yeah, but there was also other guys who filled in for Renberg after the fact.
Sean Podine?
No, Sean Podine was never there. He was like fourth line left winger. Great guests in the show, though.
Yeah.
Same
Portage and Podine, remember that?
What was the guy? It was a right winger. Manny something played the first game of the season there once against the Rangers. Manny, starts in the M, the last name. I forget.
Not Mel
Machado?
No, but there were other guys. He had, you know, even Trent Clatt had a cup of coffee on that line. There was many other guys who played on that Legion of Doom with them. But the point is, Eric Lindros... and LeClaire, but specifically Lindros, was the most dominating player in the National Hockey League for that period of time. He would get the puck below the hash marks. Remus, you keep...
Yeah, Remus, your mic is on there. We can hear it through the computer there.
So it's my computer. I'm trying to find this Manny's guy's name.
Unbelievable. No, but Eric Lindros was the most dominating player in the mid-90s, and he was as good as it got, and he was one of the best players, if not the best player in the league, and whatever, say what you want about him. Made it to the Stanley Cup final, obviously got swept by Detroit, played really well, played great by Lidstrom. You know, they decided to not have any contact with him, really, and kind of just play off of him, and they did a great job, but he went right through that year, and he was dominating, and I think he's definitely a Hall of Famer, specifically a Philadelphia Flyer Hall of Famer.
Well, speaking of lockouts, I mean, his best year was the lockout short.
He won the MVP.
Yeah.
I mean,
he had so many other great years, Drew. He was a dominating force. I mean, he could shoot, he could pass, he could score, he could hit, he could do everything. He could skate for a big guy. I mean, there's still not that many big guys who could skate like Eric Lindros. He was a dominating player. Now, should he have been the captain in 98, and did Bob Clark hitch his wagon to him maybe too early, and a guy who wasn't capable of doing it? Maybe. Did he come back too early before he got hit by Scott Stevens that year? Sure. Should he not have come back after and got hit by Jason Doig, you know, on the Rangers when Doig was at the Capitals? Of course. But for a period of time there, he was the most dominating player in the National Hockey League.
I think it's the small sample size, and obviously the concussions that's maybe preventing him from being in, you know, in the Hockey Hall of Fame. But I think if you look at Cam Neely, and I did an article once and compared Lindros's numbers to Neely's, and they're actually better. And Neely obviously had the injury problems. But you're right, Richie. He was a very unique player in that he could fight and he could bowl you over, but he could also get these highlight reel goals. So it's good for him that he's getting the recognition in Philadelphia. And, you know, he's one of those guys that history has forgot him a little bit because of the way his career ended with finishing his career with Toronto and then Dallas. But, yeah, he was a special player. I mean, it was almost like that was the progression. It was Gretzky, Lemieux, and Lindros was kind of the gap to Crosby. There's obviously been lots of good players.
I think it was Mike Manilek. And he scored. The Flyers beat the Rangers 1-0 in the 98 season opener at MSG, and he scored the only goal, I think.
But his first name's Mike. You said Manny.
I know. I screwed up. Manilek.
Well, is that right? I'll tell you what. Let's go to break, and we can look that up. Because if that's right, you really, really have issues.
Did you not just Google that? Or?
I didn't Google it, no.
You really have issues. Mike got
They're good issues.
I think it was him.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment when we come back. One final segment. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Props to my friend Richard Pollock. He was right about Mike Manilek. He's got an assist in the Flyers 1-0 win over the New York Rangers, October 9th, 1998. Mike's actually from Winnipeg, so he might be listening.
There you go.
Well, if Gary Bettman and anybody is listening, please end this lockout. We're referencing players from the 1990s, and Drew is losing his mind.
Rapid Fire.
It's a great reference, though.
Rapid Fire for this Saturday afternoon. The Buffalo Sabres have recently unveiled their alumni plaza that's going to take place, going to be located in and around their arena in Buffalo.
Did Dave Snuggerud make it? Speaking of references.
But speaking of who didn't make it.
What about Darcy Wachaluk?
Dale Hawerchuk didn't
make
Dallas
it. Dallas and Phoenix, what?
Dale Hawerchuk is not on the...
Sorry, Darren Poopa.
Can you be quiet? Dale Hawerchuk was not on the Buffalo Sabres alumni plaza. Dale Hawerchuk, Miroslav Satan, and Rob Ray were not on there.
Wow.
But people like Maxim Afinaganov made it.
Well, he had a good 9-year career with the Sabres or something like that, but Hawerchuk not being on there, he was only on the Sabres, I think, for 4 or 5 years.
Well, who do you think
but
more
he was
of
a Hall of Famer. Hawerchuk should
surprising.
Be on there.
And Rob Ray is really surprising. I mean, Rob Ray is a Sabre of all Sabres.
Yeah, Rob Ray and Brad May.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, like, especially Ray. Like, that's, and you know, over Barnaby and May and all those guys.
And even Chris Drury's on there? Chris Drury didn't have much of a career on
I mean,
the
that
Sabres.
One year they busted against Carolina in the conference finals when they should have won.
They had a lot of injuries that year. I'm pretty sure they were on to, like, their 10th defense.
They had a lot of injuries. Absolutely right, Reem. That's absolutely correct. But they still busted. They were the best team going in, and they still should have beat Carolina.
What about Doug Bodger? Did he make it?
They had a lot of injuries, though. Reem was right about that. Their defense was ravaged by injury.
But it's a little surprising that...
Even Jason Woolley was getting real ice time.
These guys are good! Scary good!
It's a little surprising that, Hawerchuk doesn't.
That is surprising.
It doesn't really make much sense as far as I'm
concerned.
He's
in the Ring of Honor with Rick Jenner. It's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah, good point, Reem.
It's amazing how they make those mistakes.
Like, Maxim Afinaganov is still stick handling around that and not doing anything else.
Johnny Oduya, speaking of people, you know, ex-Winnipeg Jet, of course, and people who've been going overseas to play hockey, has decided to do the same. He's off to Thailand to play hockey.
If you, not Thailand to party.
Well, he's playing hockey there at the very least. You know, he's going
there to party.
He's going to play there for a men's league team that is looking to win the championship of the South Pacific.
Okay, I got
to
say, I read this in the show plan.
All right,
I read this in the show plan, and I read the article.
Full moon parties, what Johnny's going for.
If you're like in Thailand and you're playing hockey, and then Johnny Oduya comes by, he played for the Jets last year, he played for the Hawks. Isn't that a little unfair to these guys that in Thailand were playing hockey when an NHL player's... Like, I'm sorry. He can do whatever he wants, but, I mean, you're one night you're going up against, you know, Steven Stamkos, and then you're in Bangkok playing in whatever hockey they have in Thailand. I can't see that those guys giving him any challenge.
I think guys like us probably play in those leagues.
Yeah, how many good hockey players can there be in Thailand?
He's playing for a team called the Flying Pharangs.
Okay, there you go.
And they're playing in the 2012 Land of Smiles ice hockey tournament in Thailand.
That's not real.
What are you talking about?
That's not real.
I'm reading it.
The Flying Pharangs in the 10,000 Smiles Cup.
No, I didn't say the 10,000 Smiles Cup.
Or whatever.
The 2012 Land of Smiles ice hockey tournament.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Please, again, Gary Bettman, if you're listening, end this lockout now. We've lost our minds here at the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
I should mention that this segment, Rapid Fire, is brought to you by David Carr of Monopoly Realty. Buying and selling a house is one of the most important and stressful life experiences, not an experience to be undertaken by yourself or left in the hands of a rank amateur. David Carr of Monopoly Realty takes the stress out of your real estate experience while you are secure in the knowledge that a true real estate professional is looking after your transaction. David Carr of Monopoly Realty, give him a call, 230-6129.
230.
David Carr of Monopoly Realty, 230.
Finished off, has he?
6129? That was weird.
There you go, guys. Congratulations.
Why did we need three people in there?
Why not?
It was awkward.
Adds a little bit of pizzazz to the promo, I must say.
Drew, you don't need to add any pizzazz to your performances on these shows.
Touche.
Tim is part of the Seven Psychopaths. We can each read one number.
Hey, I just want to mention that Vesa Tosco is also playing in that Land of Smiles tournament.
Well, his career's gone down.
Yeah, wow. Toronto Maple Leafs really would, you know, trusted him to do well.
Imagine telling your agent, oh, your agent calls you, how's it going down there? Oh, we got the Land of Smiles hockey tournament. You just hear the dial tone.
Yeah.
Well, I don't represent you anymore.
Following in the footsteps of Meta World Peace and Kevin Bieksa.
And Feta World Pizza.
Yes. Montreal Canadiens defenseman PK Subban filled in as a guest meteorologist on
did you see this? Did you watch it?
Already?
It's hilarious, though.
It's like enough of the guy and being the weatherman. It's like it's the new thing that all these guys
it's
do.
Funny.
Who cares?
But PK's, I like PK is my boy. He's
PK's
funny.
Great. Who cares?
Nobody cares. These are obviously lighthearted things that not.
I realize, but it's like the same lighthearted thing. Do something different. Like everybody's read the weather now at this point.
So you're not going to like my question of which Winnipeg Jet would you want to see read the weather?
Jim Slater.
None of the above.
Jim Slater.
I want to see them do a whole newscast.
Jim Slater is the most charismatic guy on the team. He obviously did the take your jet to work. I'd like to see. Slater and Thorburn. Those two guys are funny, but. I think, you know what, back to Subban, though, you know, he doesn't have a contract, actually. But
if he gets hurt during the weather, he's uninsured.
Yeah, exactly.
Final question here for Rapid Fire before we move to cheers and jeers. Tyler Bozak of the Toronto Maple Leafs dressed up as Michael Jackson for Halloween.
I knew you were going to bring this on the show.
I knew, too, because I looked at the show plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know. He dressed up, you know, he looked like, you know, everybody knows what Michael Jackson looks like.
Well, no, that's not true.
Well,
he did, he
dressed in blackface.
Right.
If you don't know what Michael Jackson looks like, then
white and black.
The issue is that he dressed in blackface.
Right.
Do you have a problem with it?
You know, Drew.
Maybe not do you have a problem. Do you think his intentions were good, but just.
I don't think his intentions were necessarily bad, but I thought it was inappropriate. And you certainly have to know in this day and age that. Anything with pictures is going to get out there, and you're going to have to deal with it. Now, somebody did it last year, too, right?
That was
Torres.
Yeah, Rafi Torres dressed as
Jay-Z. If you're smart enough to realize the backlash from that, you have to understand that this will happen again, if not more, because social media has even grown since then. So it's just a stupid decision by a guy.
See, I don't think it's that big of a deal, and I respect your opinion, Rich, but I think that we have to have a little bit more of a sense of humor. I don't think there was any racist intentions at all.
But there's a lot of people I think a lot of people don't know the history and the historical implications of dressing in blackface.
That's right.
In terms of how it was portrayed when it was portrayed with a more racial overtones to it. And I think more than anything. No. I don't think Tyler Bozak meant any harm.
No,
I agree.
But
I suspect Tyler Bozak doesn't know the historical implications.
He doesn't even know that. He doesn't have known that Rafi Torres did it, for God's sake.
Yeah. All I know is I dressed up.
Where was he last
year? Yeah, that's history right there. Yeah.
I dressed up as Gary Lawless last year, and he wasn't too happy about it. So I think I'm going to do it again.
Remus.
Oh, doing
yeah. Man.
He can distract you too easily.
He's brilliant.
He's on the right page with him.
And cheers.
No, not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I never seen something like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Quickly, Drew, you probably saw Elliot Freeman just came out and said that the players are wanting Donald Fehr to start negotiating a little bit more. I think they seem to be growing tired of the posturing on both sides. Might as well add it into our listeners.
Yeah, well, tell you what, if Donald Fehr doesn't negotiate and the players want him to, Donald Fehr will no longer be their representative. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. I mean, you know, and that's what I think we've been saying from the start is how much of this is Donald Fehr wanting to reaffirm his legacy and
how much of this is Donald Fehr
advocating for the players. Yeah. Cheers and jeers. Who wants to go first? Ezzy?
I was going to cheer your posture, but what I'm going to do...
posture?
You have good posture.
You do have good posture, Drew. It's true.
It's really random.
Because Richie said about the posturing.
Oh.
Anyways, I'm going to cheer. You know, this documentary, Last Gladiators, was coming out. So is coming out. I think it's out already. But, you know, Chris Nyland's in it. And I haven't seen it yet. But he's been doing a lot of media for it. And, you know, it's going to, I think, show people a different side of hockey players and guys that have dealt with addiction and stuff like that. So I'm going to cheer it because I'm looking forward to seeing it. So that's what I'm going to cheer this week.
I'm going to jeer highlights off somebody's iPhone. Can we stop showing highlights from games in the AHL, KHL, and CHL off somebody's iPhone? There should be a rule. You need a regular camera to bring into these games to show highlights. If I have to watch something anymore that's buffering while I'm watching that TV highlight shows, I'm going to puke.
What about if it's off the Samsung Galaxy?
No, it's a phone. I want an actual camera. It's too... You turn on the TV, like they showed this Taylor Hall hit yesterday. He's not even on the screen when the hit's made.
It's pretty bad.
I'll wrap up cheers and jeers. I'm going to cheer all of the charity games that are going on. There's going to be one here in Winnipeg between the Jets and some of the Winnipeg police.
That's nice.
You know, it's November 17th. I think it's actually broadcast live on this station.
The good thing about that game is you don't have to worry if you go to see the game about getting arrested.
True.
You always have to worry about getting arrested. Always. At all times, it should be number one concern in your mind is getting arrested for you. Anyways, I'll cheer that. If there's going to be a lockout, you might as well raise some money for charity while
that's
you're
right.
doing it.
That's right.
That's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show this Saturday afternoon here on TSN 1290. A big thank you to our guest, Bob Duff, author of Without Fear, The Greatest Goalies of All Time, and Chris Botta from the Sports Business Journal. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com. Big thank you to our sponsors, Carbone Coal Fired Pizza, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, David Carr of Monopoly Realty, and the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. For Richard Pollock, for Ezra Ginsberg, for producer Tim, and for producer Remus, I'm Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk, Saturdays from noon to 3. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, only on TSN 1290. Your official home of the Winnipeg Jets.